Well, I don't have to tell you that when you arrive on Tuesdays here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio, you arrive on the same day that the Jazz Live at the Jazz Cat show will be on the air at 5:14. We do have him in touch with him, and he has his guest with him. So without further ado, let me bring on the Jazz Cat himself, Leroy Downs, with his guest today in the Live with the Jazz Cat. His show is on the air on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. Hey, Leroy.
How you doing, Gary?
Hey, all right. It's always, as long as we have you on.
Oh, well, that's always good to hear.
You're always bringing it, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you know, I try to stay in touch with all of the cats that are doing the call it the thing. Jazz, and today I have one of those people with me, Mr. Aaron Parks. Hey, man.
Hey, Leroy. How you doing, man?
I'm well.
Thanks for having me on here. I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. Man, I don't know what kind of strands of DNA you possess, but you're one of those young geniuses that jazz is glad to have on the
team. Oh, come on.
Man. I guess you
well, thanks, man.
You kind of create your own mathematical equations in the music.
You know, I'm just trying to make music that's honest and hopefully, and sometimes it does have those mathematical equations at all at heart, but hopefully it's direct and speaks to people as well.
Well, honesty, as you know, is so very important in the music.
Totally.
You know, I've had several conversations with those who teach different curriculums in middle school, high school, and on the collegiate level, and they all consistently complain about, you know, how students are far from getting it. I mean, you're part of a minority of individuals that skipped high school and transitioned into college. You know, how was that quote unquote early entry?
Right. I know. It was a really interesting thing. I mean, I don't really know what to compare it to because, you know, that's like my life. I don't know what any other life would be like.
Right.
But it was an interesting thing. I was always hanging out with older people from an early age anyways, so it felt pretty natural to me. But I guess I ended up, you know, having the benefit of being all done with college by the time I was 18, and then going from there to the School of the Road with Terrence Blanchard.
Right.
So.
Man, well, that's the best. The stage is the best school for jazz music.
Oh, that is for sure.
So tell me what happened on stage with Terrence that you may have you had an experience with that was pretty interesting for you.
Man, there were so many experiences. The thing about that guy is he really knows how to lead a band in a way where he lets everybody be themselves. You know, so many band leaders, I mean, they have a goal in mind and they're trying to get their message across, but sometimes it's at the expense of, you know, the individuality of the people in the band.
Right.
And Terrence was always about letting everybody play the way that they wanted to play. And he'd give you, you know, some comments now and then, but most of the time it was just, you were free to experiment and try anything you wanted. And that freedom to just fall on your face,
yeah,
you know, that's the biggest teacher of all. And just his leading by example, you know?
Well, he learned from one of the best, man. You know, Art Blakey taught him all that.
Totally. And that's what his new band, I really think, is now. It's becoming a new version of the Messengers, you know? Everybody who's in that band now, from the new piano player, Fabian Almazan, who sounds fantastic, to, you know, the drummer, Kendrick Scott, got his own album out, Derek Hodge doing tons of stuff, Bryce Winston's amazing as well, Leonel Lueke's passed through that band, does not have a record deal with Blue Note now. I mean, it's like a new training ground for like a new generation.
Well, you know what's interesting is that I've interviewed pretty much everybody in the band, actually, except for Bryce. And, you know, Terrence told me when he had the group together that you mentioned with yourself and all of those players,
mm-hmm.
You know, he said that, you know, everyone could not wait to get back and play after you guys had spent some time off. Is such a synergy with that particular band. You know, what did that do for you and your musical growth inside that environment?
Well, I mean, having a regular band like that and having that sense of trust is such a rare thing. You know, so many times on the scene, we're always just playing with whoever we can get together for the gig. You know, and so one element or sometimes many more will be different from gig to gig. And just having the same group of people that are all, you know, creative, but we all just know each other so well. It allows you to know each other just in like a deeper sort of way, you know, like being in a monogamous relationship, you know?
Right.
So it's interesting.
You're listening to Aaron Parks right here on the show called Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, theory is such a big part of music, and I understand that you mastered the use of implied melody and space at, you know, quite a young age. Standards always seem to lock musicians into rhythms and melodies that are expressed by the tune. I mean, when you physically look at the music, do you always see a way that you can free yourself up within the composition and still, you know, articulate the piece?
It's not even so much for me a thing of me seeing it. You know, when you start playing a song, I mean, at least for me, I don't have any preconceived idea about what sort of variations I'm going to make. I'm not looking to do anything tricky at all. You know, I just sort of want to let each note of the melody lead me to where the next note should be. And that's, I think that's what that whole thing about honesty is, musical honesty, playing what I need to play, not so much what I think would be cool and hip to play.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's always about being honest with the music.
For sure.
You know,
Miles is the master of that, and that's why he's one of, like, my idols just on any instrument, you know?
Well, Miles was one of those cats that came to the session and just didn't really even tell the cats what they were playing. He kind of gave them just a sketch, and then there you go, you know?
He gave him a sketch, but then he was always himself all about the melody, just all about those spaces,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's amazing. That's a huge inspiration to me.
Yeah, man, Miles Davis is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, other than Bryce, I pretty much interviewed everybody in that band, you know, that you mentioned, from Gretchen Parlato to Lionel to Kendrick and Derek as well. But you know, it's so interesting about this because every member of this band is so important. I mean, with the talent and creativity of that particular union, I mean, there's no way that you're going to be able to keep all these young, bright minds together for a long time. Everybody's going to go out and seek their own fortune in the music. So for now, you've got all of that history, and that's a particular period in time. I mean, I always think about it that you bring all these guys together, and they're so, all of you are so talented, and, you know, hey, after you start to do your thing, Lionel's doing his thing, and he's off with Herbie, and, you know, even Kendrick is still with the band, but doing his thing. I mean, what is it about,
right.
What is it about that particular union that was special for you? I know that, that Terrence mentioned, and actually all the other players mentioned that as well. What do you take away with you from that?
Just so many of the intangibles, you know, the friendships and those bonds that you create between people, just that sense of musical trust and that knowing that you can have a situation that feels like that, you know? That band, you know, it was not together a long, long time, but by jazz standards, we were together with that core of that band for about 3 to 4 years.
Right.
That was like a period in which almost nobody ever missed a gig, which is practically unheard of, really, these days.
Yeah.
And just knowing that you can build that kind of trust, that freedom to be able to do whatever you want to do and know that there's going to be this safety net of these guys on stage who are going to make it work, that's an incredible feeling. And that's going to be something that I'm always seeking, no matter who I'm playing with from now on, you know, just knowing that the possibility of that exists. And one day I hope that we will be able to, you know, make some sort of reunion band. I would be all about that.
Well, it seems like everybody in that band got along so well that would be a wonderful event, you know. And you said it as well as Terrence said it. He had, and not many people do this, have the opportunity to keep a band and keep a band working and recording and playing. And that's why you guys all play so well together.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was really amazing.
How was it scoring films with Terrence?
Oh, that was a whole other lesson. I mean, he's such a master in that department as well. And that informed so much of the way that I just think about music from now on, just period. I mean, the name of the album that I'm putting together right now that I'm getting ready to record soon is going to be called Invisible Cinema, because of the influence of that film and how much just thinking about the way music interacts with film. It changes everything, you know. And talking to Herbie, talking to Wayne about the way they think about music, they think about it so visually a lot of the time as well. And all of those things have been huge inspirations to me recently. So.
You know, I've always looked at it as music as visual images. I mean, when I do a lot of writing, when I go out and see these performances, and I can't write about the performance unless I'm writing about it right there while it's happening, because I hear those images. I can't come home and say, okay, let's think about this and let's say what it was. It's the visual image, it's the feeling and things that are happening right there, right now on stage that makes this music so wonderful.
For sure.
You know, you've won countless awards with regards to your outstanding skill, and you know, it's almost like you should have a tattoo that says first place on it, you know.
Oh, come on.
But, you know, what are some of your philosophies towards the music, and did the recognition from the spotlight of all of those acknowledgement help your opportunities or help you to achieve different opportunities?
Well, I mean, I have mixed feelings about this, because competitions in music on a certain level don't really have anything to do with each other.
Right.
I don't know how you say whether, you know, is Monk better than Herbie? Is, you know, Art Tatum better than Keith Jarrett? I mean, I don't know how you compare. It's like apples and oranges. They don't even fit together, you know?
Yeah.
So a jazz competition doesn't make sense to me on that level. But at the same time, there is something really important about getting a sense of encouragement to a young musician. You know, having people basically tell you, yeah, you're good enough, you can make it, you know?
Yeah.
Getting that okay from somebody that you respect, I mean, that can be the make or break thing that decides whether or not you're going to really devote your life to it.
You know, I feel that 100%. I feel both energies there, and I understand exactly what you mean about that, and that's beautiful. You're listening to Aaron Parks right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, it's obvious that you're a forward thinker in music, and, you know, there's so many past and present that have carved out their own niche in jazz. You know, the music that you've been influenced by is so diverse, you know, multicultural, cross genres. I mean, what particular thing right now is fueling your creative passion for this new composition that you're about to go into the studio with at the moment?
Man, there's so many things, you know, so much jazz, so much non-jazz. Right now, I've been obsessed with these old piano roll recordings I found of Béla Bartók playing his own music. The Hungarian composer Béla Bartók.
I'm not him.
And he's Béla's incredible, and he plays these pieces which are sort of part of the classical piano literature, and he plays them with such rhythmic intensity and swing even. It's really unbelievable. This is just, I mean, some of these recordings are just like required listening to me, to almost anybody who likes jazz piano. This stuff is incredible. It's not jazz at all. It's classical, but it's such a huge influence to me right now. So I'm really deep into that. Recently, you know, as I'm getting ready to go into the studio, I've been listening to like a lot of my favorite old jazz records, you know, like Joe Henderson's Power to the People, Ornette's Science Fiction, and there's Paul Blais' Footloose, Adam Zappel, Wayne Shorter. Those have been the ones that have been like on a bunch to me right now.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, there's a bunch of albums that have been even released in the last 10 years that to me I've been super inspired by. You know, Danilo Perez's album, Motherland. Oh my God, that's one of the, that album's probably spent more time in my CD player than almost anything else I can think of. And, you know, Kurt Rosenwinkel's album, Hardcore, there's modern classics that are getting made right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that modern classics, that's exactly what they are. That ought to be another category since they're making them all the time.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, look, man, let's talk about Blue Note has brought you on, and you're doing your first recording for Blue Note. You mentioned this a couple of times, and I think either at the end of the week or next week, you're actually going into the studio to record your first album for them.
Yeah, I go into the studio on Sunday.
Nice, man. Well, you know, they got so much tradition on that label, you know.
Oh, my God. I know.
And you're a part of that tradition. I mean, maybe you don't think about it that way now, but just think about 15 years from now, you know, that when you look back and everything that's passed, there's that Blue Note thing continuing on.
Oh, I mean, I'm so aware of that, and that's such a huge honor and such a huge legacy that I'm just sort of stepping into, you know, very tentatively. I'm like, wow, I don't know what I'm doing here, but happy to be here.
Yeah, we know what you're doing there, making good music. Who's in your
I'm
band?
I'm excited. On the band's going to be Mike Moreno on guitar, Matt Penman on bass, and Eric Harland on drums. And those are all guys who I just love playing with.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great cats. Eric's a good friend of mine. He's an incredible drummer.
Oh, Eric especially is kind of... Eric's got this interesting role for me. He sort of has been like this weird sort of guardian spirit over my career. He was the guy who was in Terrence's band when I first got the gig, and he was the one who was like really pushing Terrence to try to get me in the band. Became a really good friend of me then, and then in the band I'm in now, Kurt Rosenwinkel's band, he did the exact same thing. He was in the band before me and pushed Kurt to hire me as well.
That's beautiful.
So, I mean, yeah, I've got so much thanks, you know, to give
well,
to him.
Well, you use the word pushed. I don't really think it needed to be used as push because you're a very talented cat. All they had to do was show you what you do, and I'm sure they came together with it.
Pushed maybe isn't quite right. I think that, you know, those guys will make their own decisions. But Harland, I, you know, he when he makes up his mind, he'll get in someone's ear. So, you know, he's a good advocator.
He's a great all-around cat, man.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Man, I am so looking forward to hearing, you said it was Invisible Cinema.
That's it.
Man, please make sure I get a copy.
Without a doubt.
Hey, man, thanks so much for coming on and talking to me today, man. I really appreciate
it. Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man.
You got it. Aaron, the man, right here on your favorite jazz station, 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, live with the Jazz Cat with Aaron Parks, with Roy Downs. Now back to Mr. Gary Hamada.
Thank you, gentlemen. And if you'd like to get more information regarding the Live with the Jazz Cat show, you can just go to his website. That's a real easy thing to do. That's www.thejazzcat.net. And remember, there's archived interviews of all the jazz luminaries. It's really a matter of going to that site, and you can basically listen to all those archived interviews. Just go right down the list. There's a number of other interesting articles and photos that you can look at. The Jazz Cat is on site at a number of locations. Some of the best interviews have happened at the Grammy Awards or at Diane Reeves' home as they were rehearsing. And even at the International Association of Jazz Educators Conference, one of my particularly favorite interviews was the one at Ornette Coleman's loft in New York City. So he travels everywhere, wherever jazz is happening. The man is there, Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat himself. So go to that website, www.thejazzcat.net. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. Thank you. from the album Bounce, Terrence Blanchard. That features Bryce Winston on tenor and soprano saxophones, with Lionel Lurecki on guitar and vocals. Robert Glasper is on the Hammond B3 and the Fender Rhodes. You also hear Brendan Owens on bass, with Eric Harlan on drums, and the man that was just interviewed by the Jazz Cat on the Live with the Jazz Cat show, Aaron Parks, handling the piano.